Good evening. Welcome to Coast AM. I'm Dave Schrader. This evening, got a great show lined up for you. In hours 2 and 3, Chris Fleming, the star of TV's Dead Famous and Psychic Kids, who's been dealing with an infestation of demonic imps for years, will join us, along with Bill Vail, a kindred spirit whose battle with demons was featured on the TV series Paranormal Witness. They're going to share their unique stories, and we'll open up phones in the fourth hour. If you've had experiences, these gentlemen want to know about it. They want to hear what you've had, and we'll be talking about that later. Now, in hour one, we've got something pretty intriguing. This is something that's always fascinated me. Pam Grout will join us. Her new book is called E Squared, 9 Do-It-Yourself Energy Experiments That Prove Your Thoughts Create Your Reality. We've all heard of books of The Secret or How to Manifest Your Destiny and Manifest Money and Manifest Life and Career. Is that all hippy-dippy tree-hugging ideas? Or can we actually physically prove that this happens and exists? Well, our guest has put together 9 foolproof experiments that you can try to prove to yourself that you can, in fact, change your life. Change your reality. That's what's coming up next on Coast to Coast AM. Good evening. Welcome back to Coast AM. My name is Dave Schrader. I'm your host for the evening. Joining us now in hour one, Pam Grout. She is the author of 16 books, 3 plays, a television series, and 2 iPhone apps. She writes for People Magazine, CNNGo.com, and Huffington Post. And she has released a lab manual with simple experiments to prove once and for all that reality is malleable, that consciousness trumps matter, and that you can, in fact, shape your life with your mind. The book is out and available. You can find it through Amazon.com. E Squared, 9 Do-It-Yourself Energy Experiments That Prove Your Thoughts Create Your Reality. Pam, welcome to Coast.
Hey, thanks to me. Thanks.
It's a pleasure to have you here. What inspired you to put this book together?
Well, I think we've been talking about these principles for a long time. I mean, I think they've been out there for a while. But unless you actually put them to work, and unless you see this stuff working with your own 2 eyes, it's basically worthless. So this is a way to get people to really get in touch with this power that they have and to see it working in their own lives. And so I put it together, these experiments, just like a regular science experiment. You can say, well, your thoughts create your reality. Well, that's fine and good, but let's see it in action. So this is a way to prove some of these principles that have been out there for a while.
You know, I mentioned in the opening that, there's books like The Secret that have been around and certainly went through the roof in popularity and then waned. And many people said that The Secret was a great book to inspire, but it never really followed through to teach you how to take control and manifest your own destiny and change the parameters of reality. What's the difference between your book and, say, The Secret?
Well, again, that's just those are just the principles. It talks about, this is theoretically how it works. Well, theories only will only take you so far. So this is actually putting it into practice. And there's literally 9 48-hour experiments. And so a couple of them are a little bit more than 48 hours, but basically they're really simple. It costs nothing to do them. So you just try it. And so you just have to open your mind and give it a try for just a short amount of time. And then you can see for yourself, does this work or does it not work? And I tell everybody exactly how to do it. There's a little lab report. You put everything in there and then just test it out and see if it's working in your own life.
What inspired you to do this? I mean, was there a point in your life where things had seemed out of control and that you were trying to figure out a way to change your paradigm and change your life?
I suppose I've been studying these principles for a long time, and just little by little as I gained in experience with them. But they were working so well in my own life that I decided to go ahead and try them in other, see if they'd work for other people, because any kind of scientific experiment, of course, is reproducible. So I started getting a lot of different people trying it. It was working for them. And so I decided, hey, let's do this book with it.
We look at things like the placebo effect. When we tell people this is how this should make you feel, this is what this effect will have, you know, people have a tendency of taking a round peg and trying to cram it into a square hole and then make sense of it afterwards. Do you see that in some of the experiments and in some of the results that have gone on here? Or is this something that is in practical use, will fit like a glove into a, you know, or a hand into a glove perfectly and can be easily manipulated?
I'm not quite sure I understand your question, but I think this, well, it definitely does work for anything you want to use it for. But I think you need to practice it. You need to get better and better at using it. But I don't think it's, you know, cramming something in. I mean, because, you know, each person uses it for their own life and how it works for them. So, and it works for all different things. So, no, I don't think it's cramming anything into a square peg into a round hole or a round hole into a square peg, whatever you said.
Well, I ask you, just, you know, on the skeptical side, just people always have this fear that, you know, they're going to spend all this time into this, and there's all of these self-help books and these ways to try to change your life, manipulate your reality and manifest things to you, bring things to you, push things away from you negatively that you don't want. And I just often wonder how much of it is more the mind playing the trick and placating you that this goes on, or how much of it is actually physically taking effect. Because if there's so many people and they're all focused on their own world and they're all focused on their own goals, Pam, and your goal is totally opposite from my goal, and we're both seeking something similar, but I want it, you want it, how do you end up manifesting that and getting it over somebody else? I mean, is there a certain level you achieve of being able to tap into this force?
Well, what I believe is that there's all these different multiple realities going on at the same time. It's almost like a radio station dial. You know, you tune into a particular you know, call letter or whatever, and that brings in that. So actually this can happen, like what we bring into our lives is what we're focusing on, you know, what radio station we're tuned into. And so it's not really like competing. I mean, these different realities are, you know, are happening all the time, and it's just which one do we want to tune into. And so it's not like you're taking away from somebody else. You know, I mean, a lot of people can tune into the same radio station. So basically, it's a matter of focus and where you want to, you know, which radio station you want to tune into, which frequency you want to tune into.
So if you are changing the paradigm and changing that frequency, are you actually shifting from one reality to another, do you believe? Are you kind of making that sidestep?
It is your consciousness. You know, it's your consciousness that creates what we see. And we all have a different consciousness. I mean, I think it's all one big, giant consciousness, but each of us is aware of our individual consciousness. And so, you know, that's where the point of power is, with our own individual consciousness.
When you started to put these nine principles into effect, I mean, was there a much larger list and then you just whittled down to see what was the most effective of these, or have you just slowly grown the list from three or four that you originally started with and found other ways to manipulate and use this force to change your world?
Well, what it was more than that is there were these nine spiritual principles that I thought, energy principles that I thought were really important, things that had worked well for my life and that I think people need to know. And so here's these nine principles that I think people should know. And then I decided to compose an experiment to prove that. So more than just like having thousands of experiments, it was more like, okay, these are the nine things I think if people could really get this, this could really aid in their lives. So these are the nine principles, and then how can I prove these nine principles? And so these are really just little bite-sized baby steps to get people started on this, and my hope is that this will continue, and they'll continue to use some of this stuff and grow it, and I mean, really use it. And the other thing is, if it's really fun to do these, it's a really fun experiment, and I think anything it's going to be sustainable, it's got to be fun, and so it's just fun to try them, and you know, and then, and hopefully you enjoy it so much that you just continue to do it.
Well, can you offer up one of the experiments that somebody could even put to work for themselves starting tonight?
Yeah. Okay. The very first one, I will just tell you what the principle is for the very first one. And then anybody can then try this. The first one, I have them all different names. It's called the do to buy. So that's the first one. And the principle basically says there is an invisible energy force or field of infinite possibilities. I mean, that's what we want to prove. That is the thesis, that there is this invisible energy force that has your back, basically. And so what you do is give it an ultimatum and you say, okay, right now it's, you know, whatever time it is where you are. And in 48 hours, I want you to make your presence known. And you literally, it's just like make an ultimatum. You know, if this is really true, I want to see evidence. I want to see evidence of the dude abides. And then you just keep your mind open and watch for the next 48 hours and see if you get a sign. And I mean, I get hundreds of emails all the time from people, all these amazing things that happen when they actually said, put it to the test. You know, it's like, if it's just a vague thing like, oh yeah, there's this energy out there, Vanessa, with it. Nope, this is it. You've got 48 hours to make your presence known. So you make it very clear, very definite. It's like you just don't call up Sears and say, oh, send me something I like. You have to be really clear. You know what you want. You want this to be shown. You want to know that this is true. And so you just so for 48 hours, that's all you look for that. So that's a pretty easy one. That's like the beginning when the dude abides.
So do you ask specifically then, are you saying, so if I want, you have 48 hours to prove to me this and then put forth something very specific, like I want this phone to ring about, you know, the job or the.
No, it's nothing specific. It's in this particular one. It's just that you just want some kind of really clear, unmistakable sign that this force exists. That's all you do. You ask for that. You want 48 hours. You know, you give it 48 hours to make its presence known. And what I believe is that these experiments are more for us. It's more about us paying attention. If it jars us into paying attention, I believe this force is always there constantly, you know, looking out for our good, sending us signs, sending us information. But because we're not looking for it, so really this is an experiment for us. It's us opening our mind, opening our eyes. And actually, if you're looking for something, you're going to be more apt to find it if you're not looking for it. So it's kind of just jars us into paying attention. For those 48 hours, we're going to be, you know, looking for those signs. We're going to be looking for that evidence that the dude does advise that there is this invisible energy force and or field of infinite possibility. So that is the first one. That's kind of the groundwork, the framework, the start. And, you know, 48 hours, what does it hurt to give it a try?
You know, I've heard a lot of people that want to get a sign from their loved ones that have passed over. And they say, you know, they'll put it out there, Dad, give me a sign that you're with me, that you're out there. And, you know, in the next 24 hours, and lo and behold, they walk outside of the cafe and there's a pack of Lucky Strikes sitting on a table and nobody there. And nobody smokes Lucky Strikes anymore, but there's a pack. And that's what Dad used to smoke. Mm-hmm. And does that mean that they're actually getting that sign from the universe or from this energy field? Or is it because it's a mnemonic trigger and they put that out there to themselves to look for something so they're more apt to recognize something that would be familiar to them or perhaps appear to be a sign?
Well, like I said, I believe that kind of information, those kind of signs are always there. I mean, I think they're around us constantly. But again, our consciousness is such that we only focus on certain things. So we block out everything that doesn't fit with how we see the world. You know, our neural pathways get set up in our brain. And it's like every second, like 4 billion bits of information are out there. And we only are aware of, you know, 2,000 bits, which is huge when you think about it, that every second we're processing 2,000 bits. But when you figure there's 400,000 bits of information, so all this stuff is out there. You know, we're connected to this big infinite zero point, so like quantum physicists call it. And so we're connected to all this, but we're only aware of what we'll let into our awareness. So I think by opening our awareness, so in some ways it's the same thing, whether, you know, it was a mnemonic device to jar you into attention to notice it, or whether, you know, it showed up out of nowhere. I mean, it's all kind of the same. It's all connected like that. But so we want to be open to this possibility. And by kind of setting the stage for this, we're opening to life, like we're opening up this new little channel where these things can come to us, this awareness can come to us. It's not like it's suddenly created out of nowhere. It's like it was always there. It's just that we weren't paying attention.
So it's creating a focus for us. It is, as you said, kind of tuning in that channel,
right,
and then allowing the channel to broadcast.
Right, exactly. It's like, you know, right now, who knows how many radio stations or, you know, radio waves or whatever going around us, but we're only aware. I mean, people that are listening to this particular station, so this is where they are. But all this other stuff is still going on. It's just that they're not tuned into that station. So this is a little bit about just tuning in more to the station you want, you know, to picking that station that works for you and realizing that all those things are going around. I mean, all these cell phone messages are happening all over the place, all these texts. I mean, all these things are happening, but, you know, you tune into the one thing that, you know, that you're choosing. And so that's kind of what this is about.
We've talked on our show, and I know they've done it in experiments on Coast to Coast with the power of prayer and setting forth an intention to make something happen. And do you believe that that's the same principle that kind of fits in with the experiments that you do in this book, that when you focus intently on putting forth an effort, that that ripple effect, and especially if many of you come together for the same basic goal, that that will have a much more direct and effective response?
Oh, yeah, because it just, you know, adds more energy to it if you get more than one person doing it. You know, it grows exponentially as you have more people focusing on things. So, yeah, oh, yes, definitely. It's definitely very similar, making intentions. And so the first one is just to ask for any general blessing, but there is one of the experiments later on where you ask for a specific thing that you ask for. But, yes, no, I do think making that intention does, you know, does draw it to you. It's like, you know, in quantum physics, they discovered that it's really impossible to do an experiment because the observer constantly affects. I mean, everything we look at, we're affecting everything that we look
right.
at. You know, it's the observer effect. So, so in some ways, it's impossible to be completely objective because you're constantly affecting everything anyway. So your thoughts, you know, have an energy, and as, you know, three or four thoughts gather together, or three or four people's thoughts gather together, then it grows and grows and grows, and it definitely, you know, makes the result happen faster. So, like, that's part of the reason the power of prayer does work.
So it almost, in effect, works like the 100 monkey theory.
Exactly,
right?
Exactly.
Once that 100th monkey picks a stick up and sticks it into the anthill, this global consciousness awakens in apes around the world, that suddenly an activity that they've never done before becomes second nature to them.
Right, exactly. And it's like, where did that come from? Well, it was always there. It's just that they finally tuned into it, and enough of it was all, we're all joined together. Because, again, it's all this one big mind. It's all one big consciousness that we're all, you know, our little points of light, like our little light bright, our little, you know, little bulb in the big light bright.
Now, you know, something that has intrigued me as someone who actually investigates claims of the paranormal. I have gone to locations and I've researched things like the Philip experiment, and you look at the consciousness, and again, kind of setting the intention like we talked about with prayer. We've seen that experiments like the Philip experiment have yielded unbelievable results. And for people that don't know the Philip experiment, a group of students came together, they created a backstory for a ghost, they created this ghost, and then they began getting responses as though this was a real living, breathing spirit that they'd created, like it was always there. Do you think that with these alternate realities, that maybe what they'd done was tapped into an alternate reality and pulled that through something that was already in existence? Or are we that powerful a mind that we can actually influence and affect and create an energy form or a life form through thought?
Well, I do think we create for us. I mean, that's what our imagination is for. And I think mm-hmm. our imaginations are the most powerful tool that we have. We can imagine something. And if we can hold, you know, onto that particular vision in our mind long enough, we really do create. It's like those old science fiction movies, you know, where suddenly they're, you know, over Frank, like, he's alive, you know, it comes alive. Because, you know, it's like we get that much energy gathered together, and it does happen that way. So, yes, our imagination is really important. In fact, the only reason we keep seeing the same thing day after day after day is because we're not using our imagination. We're just simply repeating, you know, just the past over and over and over again. But if we can imagine different things, then we can completely change the way it is. So using your imagination to create new things rather than just regurgitate the same old thing over and over mm-hmm. and over again, which is what we do, which is basically, you know, the state of consciousness most of us are in, just, you know, kind of getting up and doing it all over again the same exact way without using a new imagination or drawing anything new. And it's like that, you know, movie Groundhog Day. Just do it again, the same old thing, same old thing. But we don't even realize that we're doing that, you know, until we open up to this other possibility, you know, that we can imagine something completely different.
And it's interesting when you look at things like the Industrial Revolution, right? All of a sudden, there seems to be this explosion of ideas. And because one group does something, it forces other people to start thinking outside the box. And then that creates this revolution and change. And that sounds a lot like what you're talking about with the experiments in this book.
Exactly. Because, you know, it's like, or the 4-minute mile, you know, once one person does it, then everybody can start to do it. So I think that's what happens is, you know, and in fact, that's why I really encourage people to do this stuff in a group, because, you know, you hear, oh, wow, that happened for so-and-so. And it just opens you up a little bit more, because, again, it's all about opening up these channels. And if you're totally closed and say, this doesn't work, this can't work, well, then fine, your channel's completely closed. But if you open to that possibility, if you see other people doing it, and you kind of hear about this, and you go, well, you know, I'll give it a try. And just being open to that it could happen, that it could,
right.
It really does open things up even more.
PamGrout.com is her website. E-squared, 9 do-it-yourself energy experiments that prove your thoughts create your reality. Imagine a new reality for yourself. We'll be back with more Pam Grout and more Coast to Coast AM right after this. Coming up in hour 2 and 3 of tonight's show, doing battle with darkness, demonic imps. Chris Fleming and Bill Vail will join us this evening and tell us about their unique and very strange situations. Chris Fleming believing he's been stalked by these creatures since childhood, and how he is reclaiming his life to defeat and battle back against these creatures. Hour 4 will open up the phone calls and allow you to call in and share your stories. Have you had the same experiences? You can tell Chris and Bill all about that. Share that with us in hour 4. This hour, we are talking with Pam Grout. You can find more information about our guest at PamGrout.com. She's the author of over 16 books. Her brand new book is out and available through Amazon.com. E-squared, 9 do-it-yourself energy experiments that prove your thoughts create your reality. Can you change your life? Can you do it today? She has 9 principles, 9 experiments that she believes, if you follow, will prove to you beyond a shadow of a doubt that you, in fact, do have control over your life and changing and shaping your reality. We'll continue with Pam Grout right after this. Good evening. Welcome back to Coast AM. I'm your host, Dave Schrader, for the evening. Pam Grout is our guest here in Hour 1. Her new book, E-Squared, 9 Do-It-Yourself Energy Experiments That Prove Your Thoughts Create Your Reality. Pam, a lot of people are curious and want to know. I mean, we've been told so much that 99% of illness is mental. And when you allow yourself to be beaten down and broken, that it can, in fact, affect you that way. Do you believe that utilizing the experiments in this book, you can will yourself to better health and change your reality that way as well?
Yeah, I mean, I believe perfect health is our normal state. And I think we create disease or, you know, illness by our thoughts and by looking at things incorrectly. But yeah, no, I think that is the natural state. I think all of this stuff is our natural state, and we have taught ourselves other ways of doing things that aren't really accurate. So yeah, no, I definitely believe that we can affect our body and our health and everything with our thoughts.
Why do you think, if these principles have been around for so long, that more people haven't found ways to utilize this, and it isn't part of schooling and you know, university and grade school? Because I think if they started teaching principles like this early on and showing people, this would be so much more impressive than home ec. You know, this would be something that can actually change life.
Well, I actually have a theory that we come in knowing this. You know, I think babies just radiate pure joy, and then our culture teaches us these other ways of being. They teach us the lack and the limitation, the fear. And so I believe that we actually kind of know this stuff, but our culture has taught us a completely different message that we are powerless. I mean, think about it. You know, a little kid gets sick and their parents rush him to the doctor instead of saying, hey, you know, you've got the power within you to heal yourself. But we don't give that message at all. So very early on, we teach our kids that, you know, it's a scary world out there, Johnny. You know, it's you know, you need to be really careful. You need to, you know, don't take those risks, sit back. So we teach our kids very early on to be fearful, to believe in limits. And so I really think that you know, if we would just stay true to who we were, that, you know, these kind of things wouldn't happen. But we've got this dominant paradigm going on right now that suggests, you know, lack and limitation, gloom and doom. And as long as we're looking for that, you know, we certainly can create that. We've been very successful at creating that particular reality. But I believe the other, you know, the more joyful, the happier, the healthy reality is is more natural reality.
Well, that brings up kind of an interesting point. You know, there's talk of black magic, black voodoo, things like that. Can this also be a force for negativity? Can we will into effect negative? Or do you believe that that's what people already are doing because they set limited expectations or low expectations, or in some cases, no expectations? And that's why there's so much muck and mire and why we're in such a convoluted state in our lives?
You know, I don't think anybody has no expectations. I mean, they may not be aware of what their expectations are, but they all have. And I think what happens, you know, this energy, it's kind of like, you know, a laser. It has all energy going in one direction. And so that's what happened is we've got all these different energies going in all different directions. It's like we're like a pinball machine, you know, with all these energies going. Like on one hand, we want this. On one hand, we want that. But we're afraid that this will happen. So this energy's all confused. So, you know, as you get more focused, you know, with the more laser-like intentions, you get them all the energy going in the same direction. That makes it, you know, happen a lot smoother. So, and I do believe that is the natural state. I do think that. But, again, I think we're taught this other paradigm pretty early on. And as far as the black magic and all that, I don't know. So I would agree more with what you said before, yeah, that it probably is what we're doing now. You know, we've created this sort of veil over the top of what the truth is, that, you know, that there, it is all love and it is all connection. And then we've created this other dissonant energy to kind of conflict with that. I mean, eventually we'll all get it. I mean, eventually it's all going to be fine. But in the meantime, we're kind of creating this little roller coaster ride to, I guess, have a little bit of fun while we're, you know, well, until we get it.
Well, you described in our first half an hour together, you gave us one of the examples and experiments. What is one of the more dramatic experiments people can try, or do they need to go in numerical order in order to have better effect?
They can do them however they want. Like I said, the big thing is to make it fun. But one of the ones I really love, and in fact, I might have should have put this one in the very first, but it's what I call the Einstein wands. And again, these are all real simple, easy experiments. So I tell people to get, you know, metal coat hangers out of their closet or whatever, and then you bend them to what I call Einstein wands. So, you know, you straighten it out, and then you've got a little handle on it, and then you put a little straw on the end of it, and then you hold it. It looks kind of like a little laser gun or something, you know. It's about 6 inches, you know, for your hands, and then you've got the rest of the hanger sticking out straight. And then you hold them, you know, so the straw is actually in contact with your body, not, you know, anything else. And then you wait for them to settle down because, you know, you've got all this energy running through. So they'll be shaking and moving all over the place. But once you get them to settle down, and then literally you start thinking things like, first of all, you know, say you think some kind of negative thought, some kind of fear thought, something you know, that's stressing you out. And those wands just go in. I mean, like they cross each other. And then again, you know, bring it back and you start thinking about something that really makes you happy, something you love, something that's joyful. And those wands just spread wide open. You know, like arms waiting to hug someone. It's just, that's so amazing. And you can see it just like that. And that's a fun one to do because it's so amazing. It works every time. This one gal, I know she went to the dry cleaner and got like 100 of these hangers. And she went around and made all these Einstein wands, was showing it to people. She was taking them to doctors. And people are just blown away by this because you just don't realize. And this is where you can see it very visibly, like these wands are totally reacting to your thoughts, and you're not touching them other than, you know, your hands are holding them out straight, but they just react. You can use it. I mean, you.
Is this like, are you talking like dowsing rods almost?
They're kind of like dowsing rods. Yes. Some people would call them that, I suppose, but it's just metal, you know, wire hangers from your closet. I've got there's all kinds of, people have put up all kinds of YouTube videos showing their experiments, you know, showing their Einstein wands. It's pretty amazing. Some guy told me he took them down to the bar and did them for party tricks. I've been thinking about selling them at Toys R Us. But anyway,
right,
yeah, they're
right
really
next
cool.
to the Ouija board, sure.
Yeah, but one it's of the really amazing, yeah.
One of the things I've seen, and this was a pretty fascinating experiment, and this is one I've tried for myself, and it seems to kind of fit in that same vein, is talking about the power of thought and how people and your thoughts can definitely affect you. I've seen this done over and over again, and it's really astounding. And you guys, this is a kind of a great little parlor trick to show, but pick a big guy from your audience, from your crowd, your party, whatever's going on, and then pick a smaller lady out of the group or a smaller gentleman, whatever, and have the big guy put his arms out straight and grab onto his wrists and try to pull his arms down and just have that guy fight to keep those arms up. Then stop. Have them face one another And the smaller person, without speaking a word, literally for 1 minute, thinks nothing but the most hateful, heinous things they could possibly project on this person without ever saying a word, and then replicate the experiment. Have the gentleman put his arms out, and every time I've seen this happen, the smaller person will grab the wrists and the arms go down like knives through butter.
Yeah, no, and it's amazing, yeah.
You're affecting that energy. And then the second part of the story is then you take that same person and you whisper in his ear and say, for the next 2 minutes, you do nothing but focus on everything you love about yourself. Think only of the positive. And then you tell the crowd, get the whole crowd into thinking horrible, hateful things and focused on him, paying attention to him, and then do the experiment again, and she won't be able to budge his arms. And you think with all of those people focused on you that that would have a negative impact. But actually, it's your thoughts that change your strength and parameters, and the guy's arms lock every time. It's been a really fascinating little day, but it seems to be that same kind of vein, like you were just mentioning, how the thoughts can change the parameter of how we feel and how strong we are, how we can react to certain situations.
Yeah, that's another really visual thing to watch, and that is a good one to try.
And it is, and I promise, listeners, give it a shot. You'll astound yourself and everybody there with you. Here's a question. Carol Moidel writes in, and she says, okay, so if 10,000 well-intentioned people are sitting in an auditorium, and all of them really focus all of their intention on an amputee on stage growing a new arm, will that become a reality? You know, why can't that be created if you have that much focus and intent and that amputee wants to grow their limb back and so many people are focused on that positive energy taking place?
Well, see, I believe that could be possible, but I also think because of those 10,000 people, there's going to be some energy there going, yeah, right. You know, and that's what I mean, that dissonant energy. So I think if all of us could completely let go of old paradigms and those doubts and that thought that couldn't happen, I believe that could happen. But 10,000 people, that's an awful lot of potential for doubt. And because that hasn't been something we've let in so far, you know, that's going to be a tough one. And that's one of the things about the experiments in these books. It starts with kind of simple things because, again, we've got all these different energies, you know, 60,000 thoughts a day, you know, and some of them might think, yeah, I want this, and then the other one thinks this other thing. So, you know, if you start with something that, because that would be a huge one, you know, to grow back an arm would be huge. Now, I think it's possible. I think it's very possible, but there's going to be an awful lot of doubt. So it might be easier to start with, you know, growing a fingernail or something, you know, something a little bit easier because of the doubts and because of the disbelief, because that's what we're counteracting. I mean, really what we've got now is all the doubting and the fear. I mean, that's the results of what we're seeing out there right now. And so as we change this paradigm that it's supposed to be good, and it's supposed, you know, this force does have our back, then we can do some of these bigger things. But I think anything's possible, but we have to be open to it. So let's just start with, you know, what we think we can do, and then, you know, kind of move our way up. And that's why it's good, you know, you have these little results, like, wow, this is really cool. And then you just keep practicing and practicing until you get better and better, because you see it happening. You see those little Einstein wands working, you go, whoa, that's interesting. And then you can add to, you know, something else, and it just, you know, just gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and you could start imagining more things.
Well, yeah, and if you're working in this, it's kind of like a muscle, right? Once you start to get, you know, none of us can just jump up out of bed after not having exercised or worked out and start running 5 miles and do 500 push-ups and 500 chin-ups. You just can't do that. You have to build these muscles slowly. You may do it once, but you'll collapse and be in so much agony for the next 3 weeks waiting for your muscles to heal. But if you do this slowly with these experiments, do you believe that that is what can help manifest and change the memory muscle, the mental muscle, and create new paradigms?
Well, exactly. Because, again, if you start, see, I think that's what happens with people. You know, they go, okay, I create my own reality. I'm going to create this red Ferrari right here in my... And then it doesn't happen, because at the same time you're thinking you want that, you've got about, you know, 9 million thoughts to say, oh, yeah, right, that can't happen. So that's what I mean. You've got that energy going. I mean, there are gurus in India that can pluck jewels out of the air, I mean, that quickly, because there is no doubt in their mind. So, you know, but for us, we still have all these doubts. We're still operating from this other paradigm. So these kind of smaller things happen. And, again, that's where we build the power. We build the energy as we start, wow, that worked. Okay.
And you know, it's interesting. You know, Carol brought up a good point. I think, you know, I understand where the idea of her question came from, but you know, there's actually been experiments done with Krillian photography, Pam, where they've taken photographs of leaves that they've cut part of the leaf off, and they take that photograph, and the energy of that leaf is still there, even though it's not physically there. And they've done that with limbs that have been lost. People have these phantom feelings all the time in legs that no longer exist, right? In nerve endings that are no longer there, they can feel their toes wiggle or itch. So if that truly exists, it does kind of propel the idea that maybe we are limited only by what our mind allows us to believe is possible. And once we begin accepting imagination and growing and cultivating that, perhaps we do have more limitless powers than we give ourselves credit for.
That's really true. No, there's no reason we couldn't do something like that, but we have to let go of all those parts of us to say that can't happen. See, again, we're taught all these things that this isn't possible, and we have to consult the experts for this, and you have to, you know, meet these 10 steps for this to happen. And as long as you believe that, as long as we're taught that, that's the stuck reality that we're in. We're in these little tiny boxes of what does and doesn't work. But as we open up to more possibilities and we let those channels open, I mean, anything really is possible, but it's only as possible as we will allow it in. You know, again, we have to tune into that channel where it is possible. And that's what I'm hoping to encourage people to do, to, hey, open your mind. And I'm not saying, you know, let's grow back an arm today, although that would be great, and I do think it would be possible. But let's start with some little things that we can do and then, you know, go from there.
Work your way up. And I know George, George Norrie did an intention experiment a number of years ago where they were sending rain. They were having the coast listeners focus and send rain to places, but the results actually were so devastating because there was too much coming. You have all of this intention and focus. Now, was it just timing? Was it coincidence that this took place? Or was it sincerely that, you know, the intention of this many people, 5 million people around the world, 15 million people around the world listening to the show and live and in podcast form, focusing that intent did, in fact, have an energy exchange and a change? You know, it's very easy to sit back, as I'm sure a lot of listeners are sitting back going, wow, this woman and Dave are definitely smoking weed and imagining that this could happen. There's no way. But I've seen in my life, I know that I've had experiments and experiences where I focused on something, and that's really it. And it's amazing how once I've actually put focus on one thing, that thing comes to me, and it does happen. And sometimes we forget that the simplest things do really work.
I know, and this is, I mean, it's kind of like, it's in the beginning of my book. It's like one time I woke up, there's this space heater beside me that I could turn down the whole time, and there's this power within us, and it's right there, and we're not using it, and it's really kind of sad. It's like, wow, all this time, this power is right there, and we're just sitting here pretending as if we have no power, and, you know, woe is me, and all this kind of stuff, and it's right there. It's right there. It's just opening up to it.
Right. And you see these people that do superhuman things. I mean, there's the guy that can walk out in unbelievable sub-zero weather in nothing but underwear and socks, and the cold does not affect him, and they can't understand why it's not affecting him. And there's been people that can go deeper in the water than they should be allowed to and hold their breath unbelievable lengths. It's because in their reality, they can do this. They can breathe longer. They can lower their blood pressure, their heartbeats, their rates. They can change their parameters because they're not allowing the outside world to control their thought process.
Exactly, because we are taught very early on, this is possible, this isn't possible. You need 8 hours of sleep, you need 3 meals a day. You know, I mean, just the rules go on and on and on and on and on, and that's how we're living our lives, according to these little tiny boxes that we put ourselves in that our parents very, you know, out of totally the goodness of their heart taught us the way things are, and they think that's the way it is, but it's not that way at all. It's so much bigger than anybody has any clue. I mean, it's just so much more. And
why limit ourselves or our children, right? When kids start to try to walk and they fall down, we don't say, you know what, it's better if you just give up because this is too hard. You talk to them and you show them and you build that strength and you give them the support to show them that walking can be done. So if we can walk, why can't we achieve more things instead of just quitting after we fall down once or twice?
Exactly. You know, it's just anything is possible. That's what I'm saying. You know, I think kids would come in knowing that, but we quickly teach them the opposite. I mean, really, because this is more of our natural state to be able to do these things, to be able to use our imagination to create things, to pull things out of the ether or whatever. That is natural, but we're very quickly taught. I mean, we don't see things the way they really are. Like, for example, a light bulb, it looks like continuous light. It's actually blinking 60 times per second, but we've taught ourselves just to see it as one continuous thing. So, I mean, it's like we've taught ourselves to see life a certain way. And so this is what's acceptable. This is the way we're taught. So that's all we'll do. But there's so much more there once we open to it. So, you know, that's the big thing, is really unlearning all the stuff that we learn. And in fact, that's as much as anything, is letting go of all those beliefs and all those things you've cut off from yourself. You know, open up to see all the other possibilities, all the other dimensions, all the other, you know, anything could be possible by just opening up.
Thank you very much. Pam Grout, our guest for the evening. E squared, 9 do-it-yourself energy experiments that prove your thoughts create your reality. When we come back, we'll talk about a reality of a totally different kind. We'll be back with Chris Fleming and Diabolical Imps on Coast to Coast AM.